this morning. I want to know if anybody else noticed anything that I'm wondering if my theology is a little skewed. So when you saw the first one, there was a picture, the Meeker Kings, whatever it was. There was a picture, maybe not Meeker Kings, next one. Anyway, there's a picture of an angel up there, right? Did anybody notice the angel up on top of the hill?
Yes.
Excellent. Did you notice anything about the angel up on top of the hill? It was shining very brightly. My question is, did it or did it not have a hat? I don't think it was going to be. All right. This morning, I want to talk about something that probably seems a little contradictory. If you notice the title, which Joe did a great job pointing out, it says in there what? What's the title of this message? No. Strategic, what? Purposeful, and then what?
Random.
Acts of kindness. Right? So when we think of strategic and purposeful, we don't normally think of random, or maybe you do, because in my world you do. Okay? But if you're in other people's worlds that are really organized in general, and I hear that name is that way, right? If you are organized, or you are dating somebody who is very organized, or you are married to somebody who is very organized, right? Strategic and purposeful fit, but random does not. Let's plan out something in detail, and then let's just do it randomly. That doesn't necessarily work. This morning, I want to challenge your thinking, and I want you to walk away with this idea that maybe it all fits together. Okay? So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for tying together. Lord, we're thankful for what has already happened in the service, and we pray now that we open up your word, Lord, that you would speak to us in your name. Amen. I'm proposed to you that this morning you have already encountered strategic, purposeful, random acts of kindness within this service. Okay? And then I would propose it this way, that everything in our service this morning has been thought through. Like there's nothing new that happened this morning, right? But this morning there was a sense of some randomness with what we normally do. Some of you are thrown a little off by it, some of us are like, hey, we need to make some tweaks and some changes, and now I can't sing six songs in a row. Right? So there's some things that we should have probably thought through even more, because it comes across as, hey, that was kind of random this morning. We've been all over the place, right? But in reality, you guys know well enough to know that there wasn't anything random about this morning, right? That we strategically and purposefully decide what we want in our service. And I think that as we go through on a day-to-day basis our lives, we need to have some more strategy and some more purposefulness. But we do need a plan. But we need to know about ourselves so that we can know about how God might use us. And we need to know about God because we need to know how God might use us. We need to know those two things. And so we come together and we look for ways to figure out those two things. But then what happens is this. We can know the hows, right? We can know the whys, and we can know the whats. But God is fully in charge of the whens and the wheres. That's how he wants it to be. So God, at this Christmas season, he shared with people the whys. He shared with people the where, the what was going to happen, right? The who it was going to happen about, and who was going to be there. But when it came to the when and the where, God had even shared some of the where with them, right? It was going to happen about them. It's the when that drives us crazy. It's the when that happens. If we had all known that the tree out here was going to fall, and if we looked at it, if Paul had looked at it from his side, and we had looked at it from our side, and we said, it is definitely going to fall. Definitely. Then it would become a matter of what? When is it going to fall? Where we can even map out, we can have a tree specialist that can come and you can map out exactly where he thinks it's going to go. Fall. It's going to hit your trailer. By the way, that's the trailer that Amy has coveted for years. You know, they said, hey, I can just catch a trailer. That's kind of cool. I just fall half one. It doesn't have thousands. I can fill half one. Right? So we can go through the whole process and we can say, hey, we know where it's going to fall. We know all these people. We don't know. Right? We don't know when it's going to happen. And that's how the Christian life I would propose to you is what the Christian life is about. We start looking at works. We know why he works. We know what he wants to accomplish. We even know the giftings that he's given us. But what we don't know is the when. When is it going to happen? Look with me at first in Matthew. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to just read very familiar verses to you. I don't want to get into some deep theology, right? It says this, you are the salt of the earth, right? But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You, you're the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good deeds and what? Glorify your Father in heaven. So we know, and you've heard me speak in almost every sermon, somehow I'm trying to attach the fact that here's what happens. The end result is always the same. God wants to get what? The glory. God wants to get the glory. And so what happens? He develops a process where that's going to happen. It says that over and over in the stories in the Old Testament. Kings, we're going to give God the glory. So what does God do? He creates a way so that Pharaoh says, hey, listen, it must be about your God, right? Nebuchadnezzar says it's about your God. Darius says it's about your God. Other leaders, they say it's about your God. There's no other God like your God. That's the end result. So here's how it works. It's pretty simple. You shine brightly, right? You shine brightly, and then other people look at you and they say, wow, let's give God the glory for what he has done through you. We know how God works. The problem is, we like to predispose how that's also going to happen. We want to tell God when that's going to happen, in what way that's going to happen. So God, it happens, yeah, but I'm ready for it. Right? We don't mind company coming to our house if what? We're ready. But that knock on the door at 9 o'clock at night or 9 o'clock in the morning that we're not prepped for, what happens? Who's going to go answer it? Right? I'm not ready to answer it. Are you ready to answer it? No, our house is a mess. What happens? We're not ready for it. Right? And God said, that's how I work. I want you to live your life in such a way that at any time, right, I can put you in a place and in a situation and I can use you. We'll have to be a light. I remember back when I was a kid singing that song, Pass It On, right? It only takes a spark, right, to get a fire going. And this concept of random acts of kindness is all about being a spark. You see, the truth is you and I have no clue how God is working around us. We have some insight, maybe, if we pay attention. But the truth is, we come in, we plop ourselves down on a Sunday morning, or we go to work, and we do what we're supposed to do, and we go home from work, and rarely ever do we try to figure out what's going on in the bigger picture, do we? It's all about us. It's all about what we want and what we're doing. Right? We don't come home from work and walk in the house and try to ascertain what happened all day. Otherwise, things would be a little bit different, wouldn't they? If our first thought when we walked in was, let me get some kind of a gauge of what happened here today. No, we walk in and immediately we want to tell our spouse or our kids or somebody else what happened with us all day. You will never believe my day. Oh, really? Says the wife who's home or the husband who's home. Right? Let me get into this comparing notes. But God says there's stuff going around all the time. Right? There are things always happening. Let me give you a story. I want you to turn with me to Matthew. Or sorry, to John chapter 8. And then when you get to John chapter 8, go backwards to John chapter 6, because that's where my son is. John chapter 6. Very familiar story, but it really, really puts together this whole random acts of kindness thing. The fact that God is doing something, he's working, and he only needs a little spark. It says this, right starting in verse 5. When Jesus looked up, and he saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, as any good person would, it would take more than a half year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with five small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will this go amongst so many? Jesus said, have the people sit down. There are plenty of grass in that place. And they sat down, about 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were seated as much as they wanted. So he did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to the disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them, and they filled 12 baskets with pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw that Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who has come into the world. And Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew and handed him out by himself. I want you to grasp the story, because sometimes we just grasp it for the bigger picture, right? This miraculous thing that Jesus did. But when we break it down, I want to present to you, or propose to you, that this is a random act of kindness. This is what God is talking about, that it only takes a little spark, and look at what can happen, right? So Jesus looks at a situation, and he knows what he's going to do. He knows the whole thing, he sees the whole thing, right? But he invites people to be a part of it. You understand that's what God does today, too. He's inviting you on a day-to-day basis to be a part of something. Your choice, whether you want to be a part of it or not, and quite frankly, most people choose not to be a part of it. We come up with all kinds of excuses and all kinds of rationalizations why we can't be a part of something. Usually it has to do with whether we're going to lead it or not, whether we're in charge or not, whether it's going to affect our reputation or not, and if we have any other options. Right? But God invites us. And so in this story, God invites the disciples to join with him. In what? Feeding 5,000 people. They rightly ascertain that they don't have the resources to do that. Which is what you and I do on a regular basis, don't we? Man, I'd sure like to help. But look at my shopping account. I'd sure like to help with my cupboard. I'd sure like to help with my refrigerator. I can't even feed my kids. Listen, that's what we talk about, is it not? We look at the bigness of what we think and we know God wants to do, and then we look at it and say, we can't make that happen. But God's not looking for you to make it happen. He's looking for you to be a spark, get it started. Do something, because you don't know how I'm working. And so the disciples that offer up their excuses, right? Half a year's wages, we can't do it. But then one of them says, here's what we do have. Now, I want you to grasp this concept. Out of 5,000 men, much more women and children, they did a search, and they found 5 loaves, right? And some fishes. That's what they found amongst this whole group of people. I would say to you, we could dissect, and we could look at this and say, do you think they did a really good search? Do you think out of all those people, that's all that they had? Or do you think that they had already decided that it was done, it wasn't going to happen, right? And so they put half-hearted effort into it and went around and were like, hey, do you have anything? Like they checked out the front row before. Right? They didn't go to the back row. Now, no matter what it was, whether they did a really good search or they didn't, that's what they found. Now, I want you to go back and find it. I want you to be the mother of this little boy. Right? When she packed his lunch, or he packed his lunch, either way, when that lunch was packed in the morning, do you think that there was some kind of strategy up here going, I'm going to feed 5,000 people? Do you think that's what happened? I can't wait to eat lunch today because this little bit is going to feed 5,000 plus people. No. But listen, there was strategy and there was purpose, was there not? Somebody packed the lunch. Why? Because they knew they were going to need a lunch. Apparently, the rest of the people didn't know they were going to need a lunch. They had no plans for lunch. But this little boy, somebody knew he was going to need a lunch. Like, I don't know how it's going to work, but I'm going to need lunch today. Here it is. Right? And he brings it. He was prepared for lunch while the rest of the people apparently weren't. And Jesus takes that little bit of lunch, right? And what's he do with it? He blesses it and he feeds 5,000 plus people. Why? So then the end result, what's the end result? So that the people could recognize what? That he's the prophet, right? So that God could get the glory. They recognize there's something about this guy. He's different. Why? Because a little boy, strategically and purposefully, brought lunch. And then randomly decided to share that lunch. Do you think the disciples went up to that little boy and confiscated his lunch? Do you think they walked up and shook him and said, "Hey, give us that lunch. We want the lunch." No, there's some kind of evidence that the little boy shared what he had been given. "Hey, I got it. That's what I got." Can you imagine that exchange? "Okay, do you have any lunch? I know you got any food in this little boy." "Yeah, sure, here. You can have it," right? See, there has to be a willingness to let go. When you get this vision that he's holding on to his lunch bag and Peter's pulling it, now you can get that vision because Peter probably could have done that, right? But he's pulling and yanking on that one. "Give it, give it to me." Or was it a freely giving of that lunch? Was it that this little boy looked and said, "Hey, here's what I have. You can have it. I know it's not enough." The disciples know it's not enough because what they say, "I only have this." Jesus knows it's enough. You see, here's the deal with random acts of kindness. God's not looking for you to build towers of wood and then light them on fire. He's already building the towers. You understand God is working all around you. The problem is, you and I, we have no clue. We don't know what God is doing. So when we plan something and only one or two people show up, we think that we're failing. We think that can't be God's plan. God says, "I'm working." But when we look at what we have in our pocket, look at the need, and we say, "We can't meet the whole need." God says, "I don't need you to meet the whole need. I just need you to be a what? I just need you to be a spark to get the fire going." You see, you don't know if your word of encouragement is going to be a spark that changes somebody's day. You ever think about that? Because you should from this moment on. When you go through a line in a store, when you get waited on by a waitress or a waiter at a place, when you go through toll booths, when you go through all kinds of things, right? You ever know if the words from the person ahead of you or the actions from the person ahead of you affected your experience? Because you sure do when you get a grumpy waitress or a waiter. What must have happened? I've had that conversation sitting. If something happened because that person's grumpy. Do you ever get that with an employee that you're working next to? What is going on in their day? Why are they grumpy today? See, you don't know whether your word of encouragement is going to spur somebody on and change their day. You don't know whether you're buying somebody God's drink, which is Pepsi, right? You don't know if you're giving somebody a Pepsi is going to spur them on and change their day. You don't know if the 50 cents in your pocket could change a kid's day. You don't know if holding the door open for somebody could change their day. You don't know if helping somebody carry groceries out to their car could change their day. You have no idea what it could do. You're just faced with the ability to do something, to give a spark. Why? Because we're going to let people know that God is the glory, because God is shining. Let me give you some really deep theology. Ready? I put this on the Facebook page. Some of you are waiting for that, especially if you're on Facebook and you're not here. Hip-hop theology. Ready? Be really careful in life that you are not discounting messages because you disqualify a message. You get that? We walk around in life and we discount messages because we disqualify messengers. There are people that God is speaking through to you on a daily basis, but you discount what they're saying because you disqualify who they are. We think everything should come in the form of an angel. A heavenly angel, apparently. Right? But if it isn't somebody that I respect, that I think is up here, then I don't have to listen to their message. You ever have that little kid say, "I don't have to listen to you"? That's a freaky thing. Why? Because they've been predisposed to them. They listen to your parents, you listen to your others, but they don't have to listen to anybody that they think is below them. We do that in Christianity. We throw out good thoughts and theology because we don't like the type of music. We don't like the person speaking. We don't like that, they're a little more charismatic or Pentecostal, or they're a little more conservative and fundamental. We don't like whatever it is about them, so whatever they say doesn't
matters. So let me give you a great theologian. His name is Matthew Parker. Probably not a theologian, but he might be from Virginia, right? And he sings a song, and his co-singer is a rapper, right? So we still want to play this for you guys. But I'm pretty sure that that's not a good idea at this moment. So we'll save it till later, right? But he says some things that are simplistic in nature. Now again, I don't know anything about his theology on a regular basis, but I know there's some stuff in this song that actually works. And it says this. Hopefully, it's up there, right? There we go. If you start at the beginning of the song, which I don't have because I threw it on the floor, says this: have you ever felt so alive inside that you just couldn't contain it? So let me stop right there and tell you, that's incredible theology. You're supposed to feel that way. You're supposed to feel, because of the Holy Spirit and what is inside of you, that you just can't contain it. What God has done for me, I cannot contain it. I want to tell everybody, that's how you're supposed to feel. Whether it's good, bad, or ugly, you're supposed to be able to recognize what God is doing and what the Holy Spirit is doing, and you're supposed to go, I want to share that with people. He goes on, and he says this, hopefully, in a room full of strangers, right? When we come alive inside, everything changes. You understand that? The true random acts of kindness, when we decide that we're going to be the loved, we can go into a room full of strangers, places where we don't know anybody, like me going shopping for this birthday, right? Spend the whole day with people that you don't know. But when you go in that room, do you know that you can change things because of what's going on inside of you, who you are, right? Yeah. We've got the light burning so bright, set fire to the night. You know, we just might. Here's the problem. You know that most of us have no desire to set fire to the night. But we don't even recognize that it's night. You know why? Because our light's not burning bright. And what happens when your light's not burning bright? You just go into the dark reflection. You just become hot on the night. Right? Set the bowl on fire, right? Because we go, says this, because we all, so unashamed, the powers in the name, set the bowl on fire, fanning into the flames. You know why most people don't shine their light? Because they are ashamed. Because they think they don't know enough, or they think that what they do know is going to turn people off, and so they get ashamed. Says this, there's nothing that can take this light away. That is very biblical, just for the record. We are ablaze with an eternal flame. Not a temporary flame. It's about eternity. We've got fire in the rain. We've got joy in the pain. We've got a spark. Here we've got a heart. And here in our hearts. We've got a light to guide the way. We've got a hope for darker days. We've got a spark. That's what you're supposed to have. You're supposed to be able to sing this song just for the record. Verse 2 says this, sometimes it can feel like the world leaves you out in the cold, feeling frozen in snow, and you know that nobody knows. I've been there. You've got fire. It's been there from the start, right? All it takes is a spark to ignite it in the dark. Tonight you're going to burn brighter than the LA streetlights, and the haters are going to hate, but you're going to speak light. Yeah, they're going to see right that Christ is the only person that we want to be like. It goes on and does the course. Let me show you the bridge. It says this. So the darker it gets, the brighter you shine. The darker it gets, the brighter you shine. You're just shining bright, right? So when the storm clouds come and the sky is black as night, that spark is alive inside you and it's ready to ignite. Are you ready? Listen, I don't care who's going to argue with me. There's some incredible theology in that. There's some incredible Christianity in it. That's what it's supposed to be all about. So here's the deal. Let me sum this up and get you ready for communion. God did something through his son, Jesus Christ, right? That was going to change the world. But his plan includes that you and I are going to be his hands and feet. So therefore, what you decide to do matters. But what really matters is whether you've got it in here. So whether you've got the light or not in here. It doesn't matter how dim it's gotten. If you have that light, God has the ability to use you to do what?
what? Spark of obedience. And so you and I have to make a conscious decision. It is strategic and it's purposeful. We're just waiting for God to show us how it works. We pack our lunch every day. Why? Because we're waiting to see how God's going to use it. We think strategically and purposeful about the fact that we know God is going to do something. And then we wait for what it is that he's going to do. So let me give you some real practical examples. I highly suggest that this week you take $5, you put it in your wallet, and you say, listen, this $5 is for the Lord. Somewhere along the line this week, he's going to show me where to use it. I highly suggest that you pack an extra sandwich or something in your lunch. Why? Because you give it to the Lord. I highly suggest that you give God half an hour this week. God, 30 minutes this week, I'm willing to give you wherever, whenever, however. I'm going to give it to you. So that when that person calls you and asks for 30 minutes of your time, you're going to give it to God. I highly suggest that you decide to use your time while you're waiting in lines to benefit God. Where you decide to offer a word of encouragement. Right? Where you look for ways that you can be used randomly. Well, you've already thought it through. You look for ways to share your story. You look for ways to be that spark. And then you allow God to use it when and where he wants to. You don't push it down people's throats. Right? You look for ways for God to show you where he's working and reveal that your little spark is going to light things up on the back of the bulletin. And Justin wrote down something that's really relevant, right? Where he talks about, have you been praying for, are you ready for revival? Do you know how revival starts? With a spark. You and I have no idea whether it's our spark that is going to do that or not. But we do that which God wants us to do. We share our story and our testimony because God's told us to do it. We pray for somebody, not about somebody. Pray for them. So you know this week, when that person keeps coming to your mind, and you don't know why they keep coming to your mind, you pray. And you think about them. That person that God has laid on your heart, what can I do for them? We don't look to feed all 5,000. We look to feed the 5 loaves and the fish. That just don't be wonderful part. On Sunday mornings, we come in this church and we look. Or how can we strategically and randomly, at the same time, help people? Who can I put my arms around? Who can I help? Who can I encourage? Who can I share with? Who can I pray with? We look for those things. But we let God tell us when it's going to happen. Listen, we have an ability as a church to shine brighter than Los Angeles streetlights. If we can start looking for ways for God to use us, strategically, purposefully, and randomly, show us that a great job on the bulletin board by giving us a public suggestion. I pray that you take one and just think about how you might do that. But I hope that you've already been thinking about it and you don't even need Joe's help. Like, I will not be disappointed if it's still a pull because we've done other things. Because you don't need our help. But take it and figure out, hey, how can I strategically and purposefully do something? So we get ready for communion, and Bruce is going to come up and give some communion this morning. Let me, before he does that, pray with you. Let me say this. God was strategic, and he was purposeful in his acts of kindness. The randomness came from where and how people thought this would happen, but God was strategic because he was very purposeful. Are you strategic and purposeful for him? To thank you, Lord, that you can find truth anywhere you can look for it. Lord, you are using people, you use your gifts, you use your talents all the time. Help us, Lord, not to discount the message because we've disqualified the messenger. Lord, help us to know ourselves and know you so that we can be used by you, Lord, to help others. Lord, we pray that you give us opportunities to share our lunch with those around us. Amen.